This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batser with Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom, but the UK edition and the US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. And we come now to two columns that Gene's posted recently, one at The Hill, having to do with changes in relationships between the employee and the employer. The first is to do with the Labor Department, the Department of Labor, and worker classification. Gene, you are not pleased with the direction this is going. What will this mean for small businesses?
It is a new rule that's coming out soon that is going to have an enormous impact on small businesses, John. And if you're running a small business, you really have to keep your eyes and ears open. It has to do with how you're classifying your independent contractors, those people that you have that you fill out those 1099 forms. Because the Department of Labor is coming out with new rules. They've actually revised the rules. They've now finally got it down to an economic reality test. There's a bunch of factors about this test, but there's one in particular that I want to make sure that you're aware of. If you have an independent contractor that's considered to be an integral part of your business, then that independent contractor, John, would most likely have to be now classified as an employee of your business. Now, what do I mean by an integral part of your business? Let me give you a specific example that the Department of Labor gives, John. A large farm grows tomatoes that it sells to distributors. The farm pays workers to pick the tomatoes during the harvest season. Because picking tomatoes is an integral part of the farming tomatoes, and the company is in the business of farming tomatoes, the tomato pickers are integral to the company's business. The integral factor indicates employee status. That comes from the Department of Labor's proposed rule. So we can extend this beyond tomato workers. We can think about healthcare workers and drivers of trucks and construction workers and people that provide outsourced technology services like developers. When people are providing, or people in the media as well, When your contractors are providing services that are integral to your business, in effect, you're billing those services out in some way or form to your customers, the Department of Labor's rules are going to make you have to classify those contractors as an employee, which means they can unionize, they have rights of employees, they can participate in your benefit plans. So you really want to pay close attention to this new rule because it's coming out soon in the first half of this year, and I think it's going to have a dramatic effect on many small businesses around the country. By the way, before you panic, you can also guarantee there'll be plenty of lawsuits that will probably suspend this for a while. But it's coming, and the battle is about to begin.
And in the positive column, huge positive column for where we are in the workforce, especially for the boomers, the Secure Act. What is it, Gene?
So the Secure Act originally passed back in 2019, and then just with the last spending bill at the end of 2022, the government passed more, they called it Secure 2.0. And what it is it's trying to address the retirement crisis. It's trying to motivate businesses to get their employees to put money away in 401k plans. So over the next few years, you will be eligible for substantial tax credits for not only setting up a new 401k plan, but get this, John, if you contribute money to your employees' 401k plan, the government will give you that money back up to, I think, $1,000 per employee as a tax credit over a period of years. So that means that you can set up a 401k plan, you can have your employees participate, you can contribute the money to contribute to the 401k plan for those employees, and the government will basically not only pay you to get it set up, they'll pay you for the contributions as well. And the more that gets put into your employees' accounts, the more you can put into your own retirement account. So you can save more for your own retirement at some, you know, at some point in time. There are other incentives and good, things out there to get us to contribute to 401k plans, which I'm not going to go into now. Maybe we can talk about it in more detail later. But I just want you to know that if you're listening to this, you should be talking to your payroll company, your benefits advisor, your accountant. Get up to speed on these new provisions of this Secure 2.0, because it will help you not only help your employees for retirement, but it will allow you to save more for your retirement as well.
Two quick questions about this, Gene. This is new information. The 2019 Act has been with us for some time. There's new information here, new interpretations. Is that why it is a fresh revelation to small businesses?
So it was. It's what it is. Is it's a second version of the original 2019 Secure Act. So the 2019 Secure Act came out in December of 2019 with some incentives for businesses. And by the way, it got overshadowed because the pandemic happened just a couple months after that. But now it's been sweetened. So those same incentives have been expanded, and there have been more incentives that have been added to it as well.
Staying liquid in an imminent recession, if that's what it is certainly a slowdown. There are recommendations, and the Gene's Medium column has all of these links for you to investigate about keeping your finances liquid, recommendations. And Gene, the market's retreat over the last year has been spectacular. So what is the chief recommendation for those small businesses wishing to maintain liquidity, but at the same time looking for more than 1%?
So I'm glad you asked for that, John. I just wrote about this for the Philadelphia Inquirer and then reposted it on my Medium site as well. I interviewed a handful of financial experts in the Philadelphia area asking the same question that you just raised. You know, the markets have been down. You know, what do we do if we're a business owner with our excess cash? How can we get the best return? So, you know, here's what they're telling you. Across the board, there's all agreement. If you have excess cash that you don't, that you can make illiquid for a period of time, invest in treasuries, treasury bills. There are even something called TIPS, which are inflation protected treasury bills as well. That way you can get a much higher return than a typical money market account or leaving it in your checking account. And there's a market for it. So if you do need to make it liquid, you can always sell those treasury bills. I mean, it might not give you the return that you were hoping if you had left it to maturity, but it will still give you more of a return. So move your money as much as you can into treasuries. The other thing that was recommended to me as well is to really look hard into certificates of deposits. They offer significantly more higher interest rates than just a regular money market account. But if you're going to do certificates of deposits, be careful, because again, there's a liquidity issue there as well. Once you wrap it up in a CD, you really can't get out of it unless you're going to pay a big penalty. So the recommendation was to get a number of CDs that mature over 3, 6, and 12 months, so you can make sure you've got cash available if you need. If you do that, you will get more of a return on your investment than just leaving it in the bank. Finally, municipal bonds are really good, particularly if you're a higher income business owner, because the interest rates on municipal bonds, whatever income you earn, are tax-free. So that's also a really good way. If you're at a higher tax bracket, put money in municipal bonds. You can get a rate of return, and it'll be a tax-free rate of return. So that'll be even higher than that normal interest rate than you're expected to get.
Right, Gene. We've been in a low interest rate environment for so long, more than a decade. It's almost as if we've forgotten about CDs and other ways to gain 3 or 4% on your cash without tying it up forever in an equity. We have to relearn that, Gene. Gene Marks is a small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper. He is in the United Kingdom, but the UK edition and the US edition enjoys Gene's columns. Also, his medium.com column I highly recommend, because it gathers together all of the podcasts and remarks Gene makes during the week in addition to his columns. This is CBS Eye on the World. The business of America is small business. That includes the United Kingdom. That includes the parrot shops wherever they are, in an attempt to sell a Norwegian blue that is stunned, merely sleeping. It's not dead. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.